This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Hallelujah.
He's a mighty God.
Yes.
He's the King of Kings. Mm. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the I am that I am. All these things are not just words to say to introduce before you begin to speak, but that is who he really is. Amen? Besides him, there is none else. I don't know if you have ever thought about this, but from time to time, I wonder, I ask myself, what if I was not in Christ? What would my life be like? Amen? And I remember what my life used to be like when I didn't know him. In fact, after I had known him, there was a season that I veered off. And the devil almost made mincemeat of me. So when we say you are the mighty God, victorious, glorious, and all of these things, that is who he really is. And that is what he represents in our lives. Why don't you lift up your hands to heaven this morning and just magnify him. Just take a moment to worship him. Give him glory. Appreciate him. He left his throne in heaven. He came down on earth to save you, to save me. He came from heaven. He left heaven that he may take us there with him. And we are very well on our way there to reign with him in majesty forever and ever in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name we have worshipped. Amen. Let somebody shout a loud hallelujah. I qualified it. It's a very loud hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please put your hands together for the choir as they go back to their seat. And you may please take your seat. God bless you. Hallelujah. Please encourage them. Keep encouraging them. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer as we go into the word. Eternal Rock of Ages, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord, one thing we know is that every parent, every good parent, instructs their children. We talk to them. We give them direction. Lord, you are the Father of fathers. Lord, this morning, as your children, we have come gathered unto you. Jehovah, please speak to us. Lord, give us directions. Lord, give us guidance in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word come alive in our hearts in the name of Jesus. At the end of the day, let your name be lifted up. Let your name be glorified. And the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. If you can please pull up the PowerPoint. Today, we're going to continue on what I talked about at the Festival of Life Service. We talked on Occupy. So you can call this Occupy Part 2, Occupy whatever, Occupy. We're just continuing the thought. You know, and before I go into the topic for today, I want to kind of create a bridge from last week to this week. Last week, we talked about vision. How many people remember that? You know, and we said that vision is God's revelation of his purpose for your life. That's the vision. You know, so today, I want to go over some epigram on vision that I found, all right? I want to share that with you. And this image that I picked is very deliberate. You see, the person in front is the man with the vision, and is the one that is directing the whole thing, amen? So in the vision God has given you, if it is a great vision God has given, and if it's from God, it's going to be God-sized. Right? If it's a great vision, you cannot accomplish it by yourself. You're going to need people. Amen? But you have to make sure that you stay on course and you stay focused and you are not going here and going there. You must be purposeful. But let's go. That's just diagram. It's not what we're talking about. Next slide, please. It says, the poorest man is not he who is without a sense, but he who is without a dream. Many people had dreams in the past, but they have forgotten the dreams and they are just living day to day. I pray that God will realign and reawaken your dream. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because dreams give purpose to life. It helps you to conform yourself in a certain way that is very important for your ultimate destination in life. Next slide, please. It is reported that Moody's farewell words, Moody was one of those great names in the church, great man, he still has the Bible Institute till today. It is reported that Moody's farewell words to his sons as he lay upon his deathbed were, "If God be your partner, make your plans big." You know, it amazes me when people come before the Almighty God. Think about this God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that creates all the billions of stars that we know, all the billions of galaxies that we know. This awesome God, you come and you're asking him, "God, give me peanuts." Peanuts is really what we come to ask him. Or you come to ask for a peanut butter char sandwich. You know, the Almighty God. You can ask me for peanut butter sandwich, but when it comes to God, don't ask God for peanuts. Say, if truly this God is your partner, then you must make big plans. You must make big plans. Do not see yourself like, "Well, this is just life. Let me just leave it as it is." Amen. If you serve this God, and this God we know is a great God, then your perspective towards life must change. It must change. You know, I thank God for what we're doing right now. You know, we have the J Factor. We have people come, gather, and we hand them food here and there. But that is the tip of the iceberg of where we're going. You know, I'm looking forward to a time that this whole city will be able to say, "Ah, there's one church in San Antonio. This church helped me with this. This church helped me with that." Amen. Big plans, great vision. Big plans, great vision. Next slide, please. Say, to the Israelites, Goliath is too big to hit, but to little David, he is too big to miss. Amen. That is confidence in God. Confidence in God. And I understand when you have failed many times, you have every reason to be afraid the next time. Amen. But what I want you to know is that with God on your side, success is inevitable. It's inevitable. You know, so when you look at obstacles, don't deny obstacles. You know, I told you the story of a little girl many years ago, you know, they said, "Why didn't you go to school?" She said, "I didn't go to school because I don't have a cold." Well, the reason she didn't go to school is because she had a cold. You know, so she's confessing faith. Said, "The reason I didn't go to school is because I don't have a cold." That's denying reality. Yeah, he said, "The cold was trying to afflict me, but I'm healed in Jesus' name." You know, you make a profession of faith, you know. So understand that there is no obstacle before you that is bigger than your God. Can somebody say a good amen to that? There is nothing that is before. I don't care how difficult and painful and ridiculous and whatever feels. They are not bigger than your God. Amen. David looked at Goliath. He said, "Goliath, you are a big man, I know, but my God is bigger than you." He said, "And this is what I'm going to do to you because of what you have said about my God." And God helped him. God will help you in the name of Jesus. The last slide. Listen to this. There is a vast difference between a person of vision and a visionary person. The person with a vision talks little but does much. But the person who is visionary talks much but does nothing. Do you know of anybody? They've told you, "Oh, I'm going to do this." They have told you many great things. And you have been eagerly waiting for the manifestation of those great things. And none of it has even begun or about to get started. You know, there's no talk about, "Oh, so tomorrow we're going to begin to do those things that I told you about." Friends, talk is cheap. Oh, preach it to your neighbor. Tell them. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. We need to begin to arise. We need to begin to arise. Friends, our scripture of the month says, God, Jesus said to his disciples, said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. It is high time everywhere you go, in your family, at the job, places where you do business, anywhere you go, they must know when you come and when you leave. Because you make an impact. You leave a definite dent. You know, some people, even on the job, they don't know you are a believer. If somebody makes the mistake to say, oh, they just suddenly see you. I don't want to use you as an example before they begin to think. They say, ah, Brother James. You say, what, James? James is a brother. Which brother? Or from where to where? What? Because there is, you have not impacted anybody and you have not impacted anything. But that will cease to be your story in the name of Jesus. Next slide, please, so that we make reference, you know. It's not original to me, everything. That's where I got them from. So let's move on. You know, there was a thought that dropped in my spirit. And here's the thought. The ability to be able to predict the future is a very, very important skill and ability that we all need to have. And many of us are seeking it. We may not have it as at yet, but everyone desires it. And this becomes so very important. For example, let me give you an illustration. How many of us know about Warren Buffett? Warren Buffett is known for stock dealing and investment and all of these things. In the stock market, the key thing is to know what to buy, when to buy, what to keep, when to keep, and when to sell. That's the key thing. And Warren Buffett, by the grace of God, has, well, somehow, he has managed to understand the predictive indexes for the stock market, and that has made him a billionaire in a lifetime. A billionaire in a lifetime. And you and I, we seek that. So that's why at the beginning of the year sometimes, you know, you begin to make projections based on certain indexes. You are saying, okay, by the grace of God, this will come into play and that will come into play and I'm going to do such and such and such. This is also true of marriage. That is why when part of the process we go through when we counsel with people that want to marry, especially if you are like myself, you know, there's something called sickle cell, you know. So as you are beginning and about to fall in love, you should ask the person, so what's your blood type? So if you are AS, you should be even more alert. So if you are AS, once you begin to think, maybe I think this ball is rolling somewhere. So, by the way, bro, what's your blood type? Or sis, what's your blood type? Why? Because you want to be able to predict and say, what is going to be the outcome when we begin to build a family? The predictive ability is very, very important. It's very, very important. And many people don't pay attention to the very important issues of life. And in the few minutes that is remaining, these are the things that I'm trusting God for us to look into. Our scripture of the month, Luke 19 and verse 13, the Bible says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. To occupy means to take up. To occupy means to take possession of. Jesus is saying, look, guys, he told them a parable relating to himself. He said, the master, when he was doing that, he did that because he was going on a journey. He was going to a far place and he was going to return. And while he was gone, he gave them pounds. He gave them investment. He gave them something. He gave them an ability. He gave them a skill. He gave them a talent. He gave something to each of those servants. And he said, work with this until I come. Amen. Jesus is projecting certain things. When you look at that text, there are three things that will come to mind automatically. Number one, if it says, occupy till I come, it means there is something to be occupied. It means there is something to take possession of. Otherwise, it would not say, occupy till I come. So the very fact that Jesus told them to occupy, it means there is something that is vacant. There is a void. There is something that needs to be filled. Number two, he said, occupy till I come. It means there is something lying waste or fallow that needs to be occupied. And listen to this. Whether you feel it or not, it will be filled. Let me give you an example here. Do you know if you have a plot of land, you have a field, you clear that field. Maybe you were planning to plant, okay? So you clear the field, but you change your mind that I'm not planting this year, I'll plant next year. Do you know when you come back next year, that field will not be fallow? Something will grow that you did not plant. And guess what? It's not going to be apple tree. And neither is it going to be mango tree. It's not going to be anything productive. It's going to be weeds. It's going to be weeds. So the waste places have been taken over by weeds, and it has become a waste place because it has been abandoned. So number one, we see that it said occupy, so there's something to occupy. Number two, we see that there was a waste place, there's a fallow ground that needs to be occupied, and it is important for you to recognize it and occupy. Otherwise, something else that you didn't plan for will occupy. Number three point that I want us to see there, and then we'll read the text for today. Number three point I want you to see there is a tacit indication in that statement that he made to them. He said, occupy till I come. It means the master, the savior, is saying you have the ability. Somebody didn't hear that. You have the ability to occupy because it will never ask you to do what you cannot do. It will not ask you to do what you are not equipped to do. It will never ask you to do what you were not made to do. He said, occupy till I come, because he knows that you are well able to occupy. So if I'm not occupying, it is not because of him, it's because of me. Amen. So three things. Those three things, keep them at the back of your mind. And very quickly, let's open to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, and we're going to read from verse 30 to 34. And because of time, I'm just going to, everything will be bullet points, and we'll try to elaborate, and maybe next time we'll talk more about it. Listen to this. He said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the field or the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all overgrown with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. In the first verse there, the first thing we see is there was a vineyard. Amen? You see, when you see words in scripture, it's important that you pay attention to words. All right? So when it says, I went by the field and the vineyard of a man, what comes to your mind? A vineyard. A vineyard is a beautiful place. You know, go to Rome, go to Italy, where they make wine. You see vineyards all over the place. Vineyard is where they plant grapes. Grapes, you know, and most vineyard on the other side of it, they will have a vat press, where when they harvest the grapes, they can go press it to extract the juice from the grape to make wine. Amen? He said, I went by, listen closely, I went by the field of a slothful man and the vineyard of a man that is devoid of understanding. Some translations put it like that, I went by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. You might say, oh, these are harsh words. Why is the Bible saying so harsh things about somebody's field? Well, when you look at the next verse, verse 31, you will understand that something happened to this man. Amen? Because in verse 31, he says his field, his vineyard, is no longer a vineyard. The vineyard right now has been taken over by thorns. And the surface of it has been covered by nettles and worse still. The barrier, the protection around the field is broken down. It's broken down. You have to have lost your mind for you to watch your field come to such degradation. But here's the deal. The first thing I want you to see there, going by our text, our scripture of the month. So this man, for this man in particular, there is a field for him to occupy. There's a field for him to occupy. Why? Because that field, once upon a time, thrived. It thrived. He was very productive. In fact, he was counted as one of the big men in town because he made wine. You say, Pastor, all these things you are talking about, how does it relate to my life? I'm not a farmer. I'm not a whiner. I'm not any of these things. The way it relates to our life is that field, you can imagine that field to be your life. You can imagine that field to be your career. You can imagine that field to be your marriage. You can imagine that field to be your academic pursuit. Or whatever it is that is in view for you at this time. The Bible says things were going well. But after a while, things turned south. Things turned south. And how did this happen? What happened in the life of this man? You know, because there are many people. Very late in the night yesterday, a friend of mine that I've not seen in like 30 years just, is it poked? Something on Facebook? You know, so I decided to respond. You know, and we're talking back and forth. And then he reminded me of another friend of ours that we actually share. We were born the same year. We were born the same month. We were born the same day. So he reminded me of it. I said, oh, yeah. I thought he went back to that. I said, no, he's still in Houston. So after I got off the whatever with him, I called this my friend. I said, I can't believe that you've been in America since that time. Because I saw him like 3 years ago. He said, ah, Koye, you don't understand. You don't understand. He said he lost 200 pounds. Okay, you have no imagination of that. I weigh about 200 pounds. It means he lost a whole weight of me in his body. And he was not on a diet or a stomach, gastric type, nothing like that. He said, I was just dropping weight and I didn't know what was happening. He said, by the time I got to, he was 350. He weighed 350. I mean, big, tall guy. He said, by the time I got to 150 pounds, I decided to go home and die. His words. So I decided to go home and die. So imagine my friend, if you had known him and this guy, he was one of my helpers of destiny. God, I mean, very early on in life, God blessed him. I mean, boxed up. He bought a house in Houston, doesn't live in America. Bought a house in Houston. He said when the problem became so much, he had to sell the house he bought to take care of himself. God has helped him. Anyway. So if you had known him back then, and then suddenly you saw him after he had lost 200 pounds, what would you say? Say he's a shadow of himself. He's a shadow of himself. In life, when you don't pay attention to certain things in life, life can rob you of things and you will not even know it. And you wouldn't even know it. As was the case of this man, You see, it's good to carefully read scripture. When you read the story that we have just read, the one thing that must stand out to you, that this was not the man reviewing his life. This was somebody else reviewing his life. The man did not see himself. Many people in life do not see themselves. Somebody was looking from outside. He said, I went by to the field of this man, and I saw this degradation in his life. Let me ask you this. Who is your counselor? Your buddies? They won't tell you all the truth. For the most part, you are probably suffering the same thing. So how can they know better? Who is speaking into your life? Who can review you and be able to honestly give you an honest assessment of your life? Solomon said, I went by this man's field. And in verse 32, he said, when I saw this man's field, he said, the field preached a message to me. This is how the Message Bible puts it. He said, the field, the life of this man preached a message to me. Have you seen somebody that their life is preaching a sermon to you? And it can be two different kinds of sermon. This is how I don't want to end up. Or I would love to be like this when I grow up. Amen? Let's look at a few things very quickly. So number one is that the man had he has a vineyard, is the number one point I put down here. And then number two, I said, but does he really have a vineyard? Because by verse 32, we say he really doesn't have a vineyard. Amen? So when somebody says, oh, I have a business. So the question we must ask you is, do you really have a business? Maybe you had a business. Because the way things are now, you need to push the reset button. You need to push the reset button. So number two, I say, but does he really have a vineyard? It is overgrown with thorns, covered with nettles, and the walls are broken down. And number three, this man does not see himself. This man does not see himself. Okay? He feels his life is okay. But somebody else looking at him is saying, your life is not really okay. Your life is at best a mess. We can make a beautiful mess out of it, but your life is a mess. It's a mess. You know, the reason people become immune and desensitized to their situation is because they tell themselves, oh, at least thank God I'm alive. Some people are dead. Okay. There are some people that are alive, and the only thing you can say about them is they are breathing. They are not living. You must have a vision for your life. And if what is before you right now is not your vision for your life, then it is a call to do something about it. A call to do something about it. You know, and the other thing you will see in our text, I don't have any intention of finishing today because there's a lot to be talked about. The fourth thing you will see about this man's life is, whatever happened to his field, it didn't happen suddenly. Oh, suddenly I was attacked. No, there was no suddenness. The Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms. Dr. Wade was going to, he said, no, that's not me. Oh, he was illustrating it. Okay. Because I praise the Lord. You see there, all he's saying is a little. The degradation in people's life, it never happens suddenly. It happens little by little. Little by little, you stop paying attention to details. You say, oh, it's okay, everything will be all right. At least money is coming in, we are not starving. Is that the vision you have for your life? Is that the vision you have for your life? That you will just be coasting along in life with no great outcomes or no great expectation. And you have such a great God on your inside. I mean, when it comes to the Bible realm, you can quote Bible and even heaven will know that There's a Bible machine here. But is that all there is? Is there all? Is that all? Is that all? A little. It started little by little, little by little. When you began the journey, you had this plan. In fact, you had a roadmap. And then you began to strike things off. Is that, that one is too hard. Maybe not right now. Bam. You knock that off. And then there's another little thing, just a little, not a big thing, just a little thing. You knock that off until the summation of the individual's life becomes empty. 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 Nothing exciting. And you yourself, you are wondering, why is it that I'm not happy? Why am I not feeling fulfilled? How can you feel fulfilled when everything has been reduced to nothingness? Friends, I have good news for somebody today. God has invested so much in you. You notice in our Bible scripture for the month, the Bible says he gave unto each of his servants a pound. Everybody has something. Can you preach that to your neighbor for me, please? Everybody. Everybody has something. Everybody has something to work with. There is no man that will appear before God. No woman will appear before God and say, God, you did not give me enough of what I needed to survive in life. That's why my life didn't amount to much. Do you ever imagine yourself to be great in life? Do you ever imagine yourself to be outstanding in life? There are many people today that were born into nothingness, but they have risen to greatness. Many, many in a lifetime. It's not like they were born with silver spoon and a gold spoon in their mouth, and then they did a little, you know, like President-elect Trump said, he said, my father gave me a small loan of 14 million. There is a little loan. It's just a small loan of 14 million. Some of us can do with a small loan of 14,000. In fact, some of us can do with a small loan of 1,400. He said 14 million, small loan of 14 million. You know, but some people, they started off from zero. I mean, rock bottom. And they have made something significant out of that life. Look at our general overseer. He didn't have a pair of shoes until he was 18 years old. You can't imagine that. He's just walking around barefooted. He means until he graduated high school, because high school here, 17, 18, you're done. So through high school, you know, he was just slapping all over the place. The day his dad bought an umbrella, they had a party. Umbrella. Because in Africa, you know, the umbrella is not so much for the rain, it's for the sun. So when his dad bought an umbrella, it was a huge celebration. And then they had to sell the family goat to pay his fees to go to school. Friends, if you think you have hard life, you have not begun to understand the meaning of hard life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 6, he said, go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn and get wisdom. Proverbs 6:6. Said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Listen to me. The term sluggard here is the same as slothful, is the same as lazy, is the same word that is translated differently. The laziness the scripture is talking about here as it relates to us, listen to me, listen close, it's not so much laziness as you imagine, it's laziness as an attitude. Your attitude and your disposition to life, when you have settled, you settled just because you think the bar is too high for you. That's the kind of slothfulness I'm talking about here. The Bible says, go to the ants and learn from the ants. One of the things you will learn from the ants is the ants are very focused and they are self-motivated. Ants are focused, very, very highly motivated. Have you seen the path of ants before? In fact, they said that ants can carry up to 100 times their own body weight. In fact, some reports say 1,000 times their own body weight. And when they are going, they very focused and very self-determined. The verse 7 of that text, it says they have no commander. They have no guide. They have no overseer. Verse 7. He said, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. It means they don't need supervision. The ant will do what is necessary to be done until mission is accomplished. Oh, too many people today, you have to be on their neck. Oh, have you filled that application? Oh, don't forget to fill that application. No. In fact, when you fill that application, bring that application for me to review for you. Your whole life. Your very, and you don't have to. If you had a spear, you say, okay, if this one is messed up, I will revert to the other life. You only have one life. One life. One life. He said, the ants are not looking for motivational speakers. They don't need pastor preaching. They don't need anything. They don't. This is the mission. This is the vision. And they attack it. They attack it. And they attack it. No need for an overseer. No need for a commander. No need for a guide. Very focused. Very self-determined. Until the mission is accomplished. Listen to me, people of God. I'm going to end on this note. There's two stories I want to share with you as I close. How many of us know about Ali Baba? Ali Baba? Do you know the founder of Ali Baba? I found this on Instagram just this morning. See, social media is not that bad after all. You make what you want of it. Just give me a second, I'll get it for you now. Maybe while I'm looking for this, let me tell you the other story. There's a story that a friend shared with me. Okay, I think I found it. A friend shared this with me about, what's his name? Michael Jordan. We all know Jordan, so I'm sure that's a familiar thing to us. Michael Jordan, you know, of course. Okay, I want to read this first. Please pardon me. Whew. Is somebody being blessed this morning? Yes. Listen to this. This is the founder of Alibaba. The guy is worth $22 billion today. But this is the story. He said, I failed 3 times in college. I applied 30 times to get a job, but I was always rejected. When KFC came to China for the first time, we were 24 to apply, and I was the only one to be dismissed. I wanted to go into the police, and five applicants. I was the only one not to be accepted. I applied 10 times to return to Harvard University, USA. I was rejected. Jack Ma, founder of Alibaba. There is something about self-motivation that it does not matter how many times they tell you no, you just keep on trying because you have seen something. Martin Luther King, he said, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. There was something he was seeing that kept pushing him and propelling him. The reason people cannot try and give it their all is because they are seeing nothing. So when you are not seeing anything at the end of the tunnel, what you are just doing sustenance. You will continue to do it because there is nothing to motivate you to try harder. Nothing. Nothing. I read the story of Michael Jordan. Somebody sent to me, said this was an excerpt from Dr. Ben Carson. He said when Michael Jordan was 13 years old, the dad looked at him. They were living in the ghetto. They were in the slum of Brooklyn in the 60s. The dad looked at him. He saw that this boy, with the mindset he has now, he cannot be great. So the dad did something with him. Listen to me. There are many things and many people God has allowed in your life to test you, to qualify you for the next level. So when you keep saying, no, I'm not going to do it, you are just keeping yourself where you are. You will never make, well, you will make progress in Jesus' name. But you know what I'm saying. So the dad said to him, brought out an old, used piece of clothing and asked him, said, Michael, how much do you think this is worth? He said, maybe $1. He said, okay. I want you to take it to the street and sell it for $2. He said, that money is going to help your family a great deal. You know what he did? He took the cloth, first thing, he washed it. Because it's how your presentation matters in everything. I tell workers, the way things look matters. Don't say, oh, his church is okay like that. No! He has to be excellent. He has to be perfect. Anytime you tell yourself that's good enough, it is not good. That's why you say, if it is good, you say, this is very good. But when you say that is good enough, it means you yourself have recognized that this thing, there's improvement that can be made. Listen. So he took that cloth, he washed it, and after he washed it, they didn't have iron. They didn't have iron. So he got a cloth brush to straighten it. Straighten it. Brushed it properly and then laid it out to dry. And after it dried, he took it out to sell. He was out there for 6 hours before somebody eventually bought it from him for $2. And the story goes that he continued to do that like on a daily basis. He would get an old piece of cloth because he saw that this thing works. He didn't mind the pain and the trouble. He kept going, And after 2 weeks, the dad looked at him and said, Michael, you're doing good and you're helping your family. And then gave him another old piece of cloth. He said, can you sell this for $20? He said, dad, don't be ridiculous. This old rag, nobody's going to buy this old rag. You know? But guess what? He did the same thing, washed it, pressed it his own way. And then he thought, if I stay in this poor neighborhood, nobody will buy this stuff for $20. You know what he did? He went to rich people's school. And before he went, you know what else he did? He went to his cousin and told his cousin to spray paint the image of Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse on the shirt. He added value to the shirt. Friends, if you don't add value to yourself, you keep telling story of 10 years ago. Oh, I remember when I used to. That doesn't work anymore. You have to add value to yourself. He added value to the thing and then went to rich people's neighbor. He was smart. He didn't say, oh, Lord God, do it. Oh, Lord God, do it. Which, oh, Lord God, he won't do nothing. He applied himself. He went to rich people's neighborhood and he was trying to sell this shirt. One little white boy saw the thing and liked it. So the servant that came to pick him from school, the boy cried and cried and cried. So the servant decided to buy the shirt for the boy for $20. Guess what? The servant looked at Michael, said, young boy, and gave him a tip of $5 on top of it. So he got $25 for this shirt. Then the final test, the dad waited a while. After a while, the dad said, you know what? You have done very well. I mean, $25, that was his dad's whole month's salary back then. You know, so the dad said, got him another old piece of cloth. He said, do you think you can sell this for $200? By this time, he was feeling like $1 million. I can do anything, you know. Guess what he did? Well, the older ones may remember. Charlie's Angels. Anybody remember Charlie's Angels? Okay, so one of the girls from the Charlie's Angels came to New York to do a movie promo. So this was his strategy. He said, I'm going to go to this movie event, this promo thing. And he was along the, you know, all the fans trying to say hello to the lady, Fawcett. You know, as everybody was doing it, he was very strategic. You know, before they knew what was happening, he rushed through everybody and security and stuck his neck out and said hello to the lady. He said, would you please autograph this for me? You know, she looked at this cute little thing. Of course she obliged him. She put her autograph on the shirt. Guess what? As soon as he autographed it, Michael turned around. The same Michael Jordan, basketball. He turned around. He said, look at this t-shirt. He has the autograph of Fawcett on it. Guess how much he sold it for? Just guess. Anybody? Eh? 5,000? 500? Gave it for free? 1,500? He sold it for $1,200. $1,200. Friends, I want you to ask yourself today. Listen, please pay attention. You get the moral of the story. Pay attention now. In life, nothing stays the same. Can you say that with me? In life, nothing stays the same. It's either you are appreciating or you are depreciating. Yeah. While you thought you are remaining the same, you are degrading. Yeah. Nothing stays the same in life. Because if we put you side by side, people that you are at the same level today, right? And you refuse to make progress, and they begin to make progress, by the time they look at you, they'll be looking at you behind. Either they look at you behind or they look down at you. Nothing stays the same in life. You must always seek to improve yourself on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Make a determination. This year, you will read your Bible every day. You will do devotional every day. Listen to me. All those things are easy to come by now. If you want open heavens, tell me. I have a group. I send them open heavens every day. Aids to help you. You must determine to grow. If you remain where you are, it will not be long before the life of that person becomes the life of the man in Proverbs 24, whose vineyard has become overgrown with weeds. Please rise to your feet. Why don't you talk to the Lord this morning? Why don't you talk to the Lord? Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Say, help me, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord. Every hour, I need you. You need God. You need God. May you not be telling stories. May your life become the story that people are telling. In the name of Jesus. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. I have three questions to guide you this morning. Number one is, what is your plan for this year? Number two is, what are the strategies you are going to apply to guarantee success this year? And number three, how do you plan to add value to yourself and to others this year? Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. By the grace of God, next time we're going to talk about strategies for you to succeed. How do you avoid the pain and the shame of this man whose beautiful vineyard has become a wasteland? And how do you reclaim it in case your vineyard has become a wasteland? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Daddy, I commit your children into your hands. Lord, your word says, for the glory, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. Lord, I pray that you give us the grace to endure. That, Lord, we will not live for the moment. We will not live for the pleasure of the moment. We will not live for the advantage of the moment. But, Lord, we will consider the big picture in all that we do and say, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we bring the service to a close at this time, Jehovah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I pray. Lord, you had a plan in creation. You did not just create. There was a plan. You set the light first. You set it forth first. And then every other thing followed. Daddy, I pray that you will give us a plan. A plan for the year and beyond. In the name of Jesus. Lord, having received a plan, we need a strategy to execute. Lord, I pray that you will, by your grace, through your spirit, Lord, you will give us a strategy to implement the plans that you have laid upon our hearts. Lord, show us definite things we can do to add value to ourselves and to others in the mighty name of Jesus. As you go, the Lord will go with you. The peace of the Lord will abide with you. It shall be well with your spirit. It shall be well with your soul. It shall be well with your body. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you. The Lord will be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and he will give you peace. The Lord will put his name upon you and set you up for glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Let us share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.